This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to the Cosmo Happy Hour. It's everything you would talk about with your best friends, from sex to celebrity to entertainment.
From the editors of Cosmopolitan.com, this is the Cosmo Happy Hour with Alisa Benson.
Welcome to Cosmopolitan.com Happy Hour. I am your host, Alisa Benson. You guys, I wrote this entire intro for this show about how women have babies on the brain for their entire lives, and then just men just show up and are like, oh, I'm a dad. But, you know, I scrapped the entire thing because it was starting to feel really like negative. And really, I just want this to be a sweet episode, a mushy, sweet, adorable episode about dads. So I have three dads in the room with me at the Cosmopolitan.com Happy Hour podcast in Midtown Manhattan, New York City. First, I want to introduce my coworker, Michael Sebastian. Hi, Michael.
Hey, Alisa, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm fabulous.
You're fabulous. Yeah. I have to say really fast, I don't even think you know this, but you sort of inspired this entire podcast because I was talking to you about the one we did last week about men and body image, and you were like, oh, I can talk about having a dad bod.
Having one or trying to avoid one?
Okay, I should clarify, you definitely do not have a dad bod, not to make it weird, but yeah, avoiding one. But we didn't talk about that last week, but it actually made me not even necessarily want to talk about dad bods, but just about being a dad in general. You're a relatively new dad, right?
Yes, my daughter's 10 months old.
10 months old. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're going to talk more about her later. Also in the room, Carl Mattson, the very hilarious Carl Mattson. And Carl, you are a father of two, right?
Yes, so we have a foster daughter. We're foster parents, and I have a son who's 3.5.
3.5. Okay. And how old is your foster daughter?
She just turned 3.
Okay. That's a handful. Two little like toddlers running around.
It's been challenging.
It's been challenging.
I mean, and we all know that when you're a dad, you're kind of just learning as you go, really. But yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
A lot of fun.
But
that's an optimistic way to start off. A lot of fun.
It is.
Okay. And then also Jimmy Bassett, who is a father of one.
Yes.
How old is your...
She's about 1 and 4 months.
1 and 4 months. Okay. So you guys are all really relatively, like, in the grand scheme of things, new dads.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was some like, yeah. How much, for any of you guys, how much of becoming a dad felt totally planned versus like, oh my God, I guess this is happening?
You know, I remember when my wife was giving birth and I was there standing next to her and she was like minutes away from actually pushing Stella, our daughter, out. And I kept thinking like, I've got 2 more minutes until I become a dad. Like, what can I do with these 2 minutes? In this hospital room, can I do? And nothing, no. Like, you know, like, support her. But at least in my mind, I was, like, clinging to these, like, last moments of just, like, not being a dad. So was it planned? What was it?
Yeah, just sort of like, you know, I do think, and this was kind of what I said I was going to talk about, but like, I think for women, it's like basically, not to like talk about periods in a room full of men, but basically from the moment you're a woman and you get your period, it's like you could become pregnant at any time. So for women, that's on our brains, like basically our entire lives, you know, avoiding it when you're a teenager, maybe starting to think about it when you're in your 20s. And then like, if you're me in your 30s, it's like, like how much time do I have left? Basically. But for men, you guys don't have to worry about any of that. You just kind of like get to show up. No? Yes? No?
I don't know. It's interesting you say that with the idea of, I think as we come up and we're going through high school and into college, it's like, oh, it's so easy to get pregnant. Just like that.
Yeah.
If you make a wrong step, you're going to get pregnant. And at least for us, me and my wife, we spent probably close to 2 to 3 years before, you know, from wanting to have a kid to actually having a kid.
Okay.
And I think that's something that doesn't always get talked about, is that for a lot of people it works really well. For other people, it's kind of this long, drawn out process. So for us, very much it was, you know, we wanted to have, and definitely wasn't a surprise getting pregnant. It was more something you have to work through. And, you know, being a husband and soon to be father, you know, that's a hard place, because it's very emotional, I think, for women as they're going through. And they have this whole idea, like you said, of kind of like what this is going to be. And you're kind of just there like, whatever you need me to do, mm-hmm. I, you know, and you try to be as supportive as possible. But it's interesting. And you kind of have that dichotomy of, you know, sometimes it just sort of happens. And then for other people, it's, you know, it's like work.
It takes work. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And Carl, can you tell us about your experience? Because, of course, no one was pregnant, so you had a different experience.
No, finding a partner or a man that wanted a family like I did was a challenge.
And did you always know that you wanted to have a family?
I always knew I wanted to have a family, but how it was going to happen, I had no freaking idea.
Right.
So I went through life just kind of finding people, dating people. You know, some of them didn't want families, some of them did, but, you know, nobody was doing anything about it. But my husband now was a foster parent, and he had fostered children, and I was like, oh wow, that's the first one I found. That, and he was nice, he was great, he's kind. And so, you know, we started dating, and I became a foster parent also. We had one or two foster children together, and then how we became parents, where we got a call saying, hey, you want to be on the chance to adopt a baby? He was born today. And we said, yeah, sure, let's see how far we can go. And then the next day they said, okay, well, we picked you, you're his family, go get him at the hospital. We're like, what?
Wait, so literally in a span of like 20, like, is that real? It happened in...
like that quick, like, holy crap.
So you really did just show up. It was like, today you're a dad.
Like, yeah, hey, there you go. Congratulations. I'm like, is this happening? Should I call my mom? Like, you know? So yeah, it was really, really quick for us.
And Jimmy, I know you had a kind of, I don't know, is dramatic the right word to say?
I think dramatic qualifies.
Okay,
yeah.
So tell us about your experience of becoming a dad that is maybe different for...
Sure.
So, and more traumatic or more dramatic, I guess.
Yeah, I think either of those words can definitely apply. When me and my wife got pregnant, again, it'd been taking a while to get there. We got there, very excited, going through the whole process. And we had just cleared about like into the second trimester for having a kid. And then all of a sudden, like one night, she wasn't really feeling well, and I remember we were walking through Costco, and she just kept like kind of like wincing, like she was in pain. I'm like, that's weird, you know.
And you're like, you love Costco.
Yeah, that's one of your favorite things to do, which is not a lie. And so we got home. It was late. It was about 7 o'clock. I'm like, why don't we just like call the doctor? Which we had an appointment the next day to go into like the 20 week. Let's check up everything. And so he said, it sounds like it's nothing. Why don't you just go to the hospital? So he went in, it was about like 8, 9 o'clock at night, sitting there going through, and, you know, run some tests, come back. And it's like, oh, you're having this baby. I'm like, what? I don't think that's possible. Like, I don't think you understand. We're nowhere near close. This is January. She's due in May.
Right.
And I'm like, I think you're mistaken. They're like, no, you're having this baby sometime in the next like 24 hours.
Oh my God. So I'm getting chills.
Yeah, no, it's a weird situation. So we got rushed to one of the better hospitals in the area, which luckily wasn't too far away. And it's one of those situations for me, and I think it was similar for my wife, is you're caught so off guard. I mean, you're upset, you're scared, but you have no idea what's going on.
Right.
And you look to doctors and stuff, and they can't tell you what's going on, what's not going on. So that, like, out of the blue, pulled into this whole thing, going through, at 8:30 the next morning, my daughter was born. 1 pound, 14 ounces. No idea what was going on, what was going to happen. I had no idea that neonatal ICU even existed. And I became intimately familiar with a NICU from that point for the next 4 months, where my daughter was there. And it's one of those, while you're going through it, it's, you know, you're almost just kind of not really taking it all in. It's literally hour to hour, minute to minute, just dealing with what you have to deal with. And while it was definitely an incredibly stressful part of our life, you know, thank God I have a very healthy, you know, 1 year, 4 month old who's doing great that, you know, you meet her, you'd never know anything like that ever happened. And hopefully it'll, you know, continue to go in that direction. But it's one of those things that just, you know, you not just appreciate, you know, what you have in life, but just kind of like what we have available to us. I mean, I had no idea this even existed. And I had a team of doctors and nurses working 24 hours a day, taking care of my baby and just like doing everything they can. And, you know, you build, you know, these relationships with them that last for your, you know, I think will last for my entire lives. They're sure. just, you know, stupendous. And it's weird because you tell a lot of people a story like that. It's like, oh my God, that's amazing. That's, you must like cherish every single day with your daughter. And I do, obviously. But I will also tell you, like, a year and 4 months, it's still like, you know, when it's 10 o'clock at night and they won't go to bed, it's like, oh my God, just go to bed. I mean, there's that period that you just, I feel like you revert back to normal dad status.
Right, but, of course.
But yeah, that was definitely a jump kickstart into fatherhood that I wasn't expecting.
Wow. So and she's a miracle baby.
Yes, she is a genuine miracle baby, yeah. Which, you know, is it. One of the other pluses to come out of a very scary situation is you really find out just how many people you have around for you that love and care for you, yeah. And support mm-hmm. you that you don't think of on a normal daily basis. I mean, yeah. People just come out of the woodwork, and, you know, me and my wife would not have gotten through this at all without, you know, our friends and our family that were just there with us the entire time.
How small was she?
I can't even imagine. You said 1 pound.
It's 1 pound, 14 ounces. I can show you guys a picture, which I know obviously doesn't work well for podcasting. But my engagement ring, or my wedding ring, this one nurse that we met there that was kind of with us through the whole thing, Kathy, she took this on like the second or third day. It's like, give me your ring real quick. And she took it and she put it around her, like her hand through her wrist and like around her foot on her ankle.
Oh, wow.
And it just
gosh.
Sat there. And my wife, she comes up with these things very, very well. A year later, after you know, she was doing fine around her first birthday, a year after the whole thing, she took it again and put it around her, and you could see just like how much she grew. But it was
amazing.
It really is amazing. It's one of those things that like you know you don't even think about it, but it's yeah. like you're like I'm seeing looking there looking down at my daughter, and it's like she should still be inside there. She right. doesn't belong out here.
Yeah.
And it's amazing just like how small and just, you know, seeing
fragile.
Life. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
What was it like going home, like, with your wife and leaving your daughter in the hospital overnight for how long? Weeks?
Sure.
Months?
That was, it was, we were there for 4 months. So January 20th was the day she was born. And I think we left on May... Actually, it was right around now, like May 15th, mm-hmm. May, I think, around there. And so it's one of those things, like, it happened, we were there. My wife, you know, does a normal recovery thing, so we're there for, like, 3-4 days straight. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, all right, well, you know, you guys have to go home now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I remember very distinctly, like, leave it. Like, we stayed at the hospital as late as we could into the night, and it's like, all right, well, I guess it's time to go home. And they won't kick you out, but one of the things that they talk about, it's like, it's not good to stay there. Like, the nurses are doing their thing. They have mm-hmm. to do their thing. It's a stressful situation being there. There's lights going off and you know, buzzers and all this stuff. So that first night we went home, it was definitely like we're just driving out of the hospital, and you feel almost like a physical pull of mm-hmm. like, no, you're leaving something critically behind.
Right.
And then, of course, I think like by the time we got home, we just collapsed, exhausted, and,
right.
and slept straight. And then it was just kind of a routine of, you know, waking up, getting back to the hospital, staying there most of the day, you know, about until like, you know, 6-7 o'clock, then head home, rinse, wash, repeat
right.
for 4 months.
I think I'm glad for the sake of the podcast that you remember this all so mm-hmm. clearly, but I'm almost amazed because I think it would almost be like 4 months of almost being like blacked out and like, I don't really remember.
to a certain part, it is. And again, there was something that I was really nice. I was really happy that came out of it. It was a recommendation from one of the nurses and then my wife's kind of initiative to take it on. But they said to, you know, keep a journal for what's going on. And what my wife ended up doing was actually creating a blog for the whole thing, which not unintentionally served a great purpose of, because when this is happening, you have a lot of friends and family like, how are you doing? What's right. going on? They want an update. And it's exhausting going through that for the 20th time, just rehashing everything you're going through. So she did a blog and updated, you know, every few days of stuff that was going on, key things, you know, happy things, scary things, sad things, everything in between. And it was a great way of, like, you know, our family and friends could check in and see how it was going on without bothering us. And then, you know, after this whole period happened, you know, we kind of have that as a little time capsule to right. look back and refresh our memory. And it's weird because I remember going through it, like, in my mind, like, people said, oh, no, you're handling this so well. And I didn't feel, you know, constantly depressed or sad. It's just like, I got to get up. I got to do what I got to do today and get right. through.
One day at a time.
Yeah. And I thought, you know, when we wrapped it up, it's like, okay, all good things at the end of the tunnel. I can look back at this and it'll be a good memory. And it's weird because at this point, and I'm sure this will change going forward, it's weird. I don't like looking back at those memories because it's one of those things that I look at my daughter now, who's just like, she's crawling, she's just starting to stand, she's doing all these great things. And then you look back and you see that very, very fragile baby there. And it's like, oh, it just reminds you a very, you know, tactile, fresh reminder of just how fragile life is and your kids are. And there's enough things that remind you of that in life in general. So but it is good because it does really help kind of solidify those memories, which I think is important.
Absolutely. I am speaking of looking back in a less depressing note, when I was preparing for this episode, I texted my dad to ask him like what he remembers about me being born, and he said something really hilarious, so I'm gonna wait until the end of the podcast and say that, but it was sort of shocking and hilarious, so we'll save that. But really quick, I want to talk about I talked about this last week on the podcast, I'm so continuing to be super obsessed with it, but The Box of Style from the Zoe Report, I'm so glad to work with them for this episode. You guys all know Rachel Zoe. You guys know that she is the editorial director of the ZoeReport.com, and they have these amazing, what they call a box of style, which is a subscription service where you can get a quarterly box that's filled with amazing, luxurious products that are all full size. It's not like some of those boxes where you're getting basically like a hotel sample. You get really great stuff. So they sent me their spring box. I was absolutely obsessed with it. It came with this little leather purse that I'm like literally carrying today, even though I know you guys can't see it. This really cool, like, cool brand dry shampoo, a bracelet, which I'm actually also wearing. I'm realizing it's starting to get weird. I like got dressed from this from the Zoe Report box of style this morning. True story. But really great products. I think this would be an amazing gift for, like, if you're getting married, for all of your bridesmaids, if your sister's birthday was in April and you never sent her a gift, which might be a true story, like, maybe send her one of these. They also sent me, the fabulous people at the Zoe Report sent me sort of a preview of what the hero item is in their upcoming summer box. And it's this like really cute sort of choker style gold necklace from this company, Love AJ, that is worn by celebrities like Shay Mitchell, Kendall and Kylie Jenner, Bella Hadid, Lucy Hale, who was actually just in the Cosmo office the other day. But basically all the cool girls in LA are wearing this Love AJ jewelry line. And so if you sign up now to get the summer box, you will get this super cool necklace, which I'm not wearing today, but thank God, because it really would start to be weird. So you guys should check it out, thezoereport.com/Cosmo, and use promo code Cosmo to get $10 off your subscription. I promise you guys, I would not talk about this in such like insane detail and literally wear the products all the time if I didn't really think it was cool and chic and stylish and valuable. So check it out. That had nothing to do with being a dad. But to sort of switch gears a little bit, you know, what has surprised you? I think this is a good question for everybody, but Carl, let's start with you. What has surprised you the most about being a father?
Wow.
You said in some extent you sort of always knew that you wanted to be a dad.
I always wanted to be a dad. I loved kids. I always wanted to have children of my own, but I never figured out how the hell that was going to actually work. And then when I met Sean, it all kind of fell into place. And then to just kind of been, hey, you're dad. It's like, whoa. But what was it again? Wow.
You're like, I'm so distracted talking
about.
It's
like dad brain.
Right? Dad brain. Well, you know, it's.
But what has been the most surprising thing about being a father?
one, that I'm a dad. I mean, you know how many times I still wake up in the morning and I'm like, oh, great. And I'm like, oh, crap. There's like, I got to go get the kids up. Like, we got to get to school. Like, I'm like, wow, I'm a dad.
Right.
It's still like, wow, I have that responsibility. You know, when you were single and you were kind of just doing your own thing and going through life. But yeah, it's just amazing being a dad. I love it. I don't even remember what my life was like before having a child. It just gives your life so much more purpose and meaning and drive. Stuff that I lacked heavily, by the way, in my youth. So yeah, just being a dad is fantastic. I absolutely love it.
I also think like one thing that all parents always talk about is how their kids are just like, everyone's kids are just like secretly hilarious. Like they just like have like little personalities and are like funny. And like, I don't know, is there anything that like stands out to you, to any of you guys, about like a time when you're just like, oh my God, my kid is like cool or funny or like has a little brain?
It depends on the day, right?
I mean,
they're all cute and funny in their own ways, and you realize, wow, I really gotta watch what I say. I gotta watch my facial expressions. I gotta watch what I do, how I do it, because they just suck it all up.
They notice everything.
Oh yeah, they'll call you on it too.
Yeah, it also seems like kids always know when you're doing something that they're not supposed to really like see. You know what I mean? Or it's like the way, like, I feel like kids always, it's like they don't want to play with their toys. They want to play with your cell phone because they know that's like the valuable property.
I don't understand the cell phone thing.
Like, yeah.
Because me and my wife very much tried to keep, like, we don't want our child using a cell phone right now at 1 year old.
She doesn't have her own phone yet?
She doesn't. I know. We're horrible parents.
You must be.
We really are. But just like the idea of like, you know, we use it. I my niece and nephew, who are 6 and 3, use it all the time. So it's like, all right, we'll just try and introduce this gradually or something. And then I don't know if you've seen this with your daughter too, Michael, but like 6 months, want the phone.
Oh, it's
like,
yeah, definitely.
You've never seen this before. How do you know this is a thing?
You can't
the
even
one
walk.
Thing
right.
That we're trying to like keep out of your reach just with the germs and the everything. And it's like, no, that's what they want. And I assume it's because it's, you know, this is what we use all the time. So it's like, this is obviously something important.
Mm-hmm. That and the remote control.
Yes.
Oh, the remote control. Yes, definitely.
They know. It's like they know what the grown-up things are.
Yeah.
Those kids, they're smart. Michael, but what about you? What has surprised you most about becoming a dad? Besides having to worry about your dad bod.
I feel like this is going to sound potentially bad, but one thing that surprised me is how I haven't fundamentally changed as a person. Like, I had this feeling that I was going to, like, become a father and everything was going to change. It was going to be this, like, profound change.
Right.
And while obviously everything is different and there's, like, new emotions that I'm exposed to that are new, I'm also the same guy who still has the same worries and, like, the same fears and still occasionally drinks too much and wakes up and is like, oh, shit, now I got to deal with this hangover and take care of this kid.
Right.
You know? And, like, still going through all of the things that I used to, but now, like, as you said, like, oh my God, I'm a dad though.
Yeah.
So I think that's what has surprised me the most, is how little I've changed in many ways.
Right. That's really interesting. And what about your daughter? She's still really young, but are you getting a sense of, like, her personality and just, like, what kind of little human she is?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think, and maybe you could agree with this, guys, is that, like, she's at 10 months, which is really when we're starting to see her personality emerge. And I was actually thinking that exact same thing about how my wife and I will sit around and be like, she's hilarious, which is what you hear every parent say. Right. And I think it's just because when you spend so much time with this person, all of a sudden you see them go from this blob who would sit in the chair and just kind of coo and make noises and you would feed to somebody who's actually like reacting to stuff.
Right.
And responding to your commands and like giving you a kiss and a hug and stuff like that. I mean, that every morning, you know, Stella sleeps in a crib in her own room, but when she wakes up, we'll kind of bring her into our bed as we sort of wake up. And in just like the last 2 weeks, she's been doing this thing where she lays in between my wife, Sally, and I, and she'll lean over to Sally and give her a kiss and put her little arms around Sally's neck and then roll over and do the same thing to me. And
crying.
That'll go on for like 5 minutes.
Oh.
And then our hearts melt and we're like, this is wonderful. And then as soon as she's like over that, then she just bursts into tears because she's starving.
Yeah.
And there's no consoling her until you put a bottle in her mouth. But those, like, 5 minutes where she's doing that, it's just like, ugh.
Oh, my
like,
gosh.
Like, melts your heart.
I'm going to play this back for you in, like 15 years when she's, like, going on dates, right. Smoking pot, whatever. We'll remind you of this sweet moment. Okay. Do you guys feel like you and your partners share equally in, like, duties around the house? I feel like that's a lot, you know, like, you guys are all working people. I don't know if your partners work as well, but how do you sort of figure that out?
Good question.
You're like, we're still working on that.
It's true. That's a tough thing.
Yeah.
It evolves.
It's a lot of responsibilities, just taking care of a kid and making sure you've got food in the house. And then when you start doing it as a family, well, the kids are still younger, so they're not, you know, my kid is like, we're trying to make him eat what we're eating and making sure that we're not buying all the separate food and doing the chores and the laundry. And yeah, we have some family discussions between me and my husband about who's doing what.
Right. I can tell it's a sensitive subject.
A little
Would
bit.
You say that is maybe one of the greatest stresses on your relationship?
Well, it's tough. I mean, you have family, you got your kids now, where it was used to be just the two of you. And that was difficult, and or just the relationships are a little difficult to begin with. And now that you add a kid, and we have a foster daughter who just came to us. She's been with us for about 2 months now. So that just added a whole
other... Oh, I didn't realize she was
other,
brand so new.
Yeah, so that was tough too. Schedules, keeping on a schedule, and I was never a schedule person. Never. Now I'm like, yeah, whatever. Well, 6:30, let's go. You know? I'm like, oh, 8 o'clock, cocktails are made, kids are to bed. I'm like, yes, daddy time. Daddy papa time, yeah.
That cocktail hour is so important.
Yes.
Isn't it? When the
you
kid
know?
Goes to bed. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Definitely. You know what? You look really tired, but it's only 5:30. No, no, you really need some more sleep. Your nose is running. You need to go to bed.
Do you guys feel like you divide your traveling life into sort of like before kids and after kids? And I'm thinking specifically about like airplanes, which like everybody knows that is like the most like fraught travel situation. Have you guys done that with your kids yet? Have you flown?
We've flown several times, and thankfully Stella is a great flyer, right? So we don't have that to worry about. But I also,
that's so lucky.
So lucky, and I also feel like because she's a good flyer, and because we have until she's two for her to fly for free, I'm like,
yeah,
we should be doing tons of
flying.
Right,
because it's about to get a lot more
because
expensive.
Guess what, kid? When you turn two, it's road trips until you get a job.
Right. Road trips until you're 30.
Yeah.
And do you guys feel like you're more attuned, you know, on airplanes or really in any situation to other dads? Like, do you have like a sharpened dad-dar and you can like sense in the grocery store like the meltdown happening in a way that you didn't back before you were yourselves fathers?
I don't know about radar or
dad-dar.
But,
I just made dad-dar up.
We'll run
hashtag.
With that.
Yeah.
I don't know about sensing it out, but you definitely have that like sympathy level of just like, you know, whatever you got to do to get through this shopping trip, I'll support you emotionally from my cart over here. But you're more attuned to it, and it's definitely goes from something of like, oh no, like how do they deal with that? Why don't they, you know, take care of that or make it, you know, you clearly just do this and this would fix the problem. And as a dad, it's like, no, there's no rhyme or reason half the time to how you fix something. And, you know, at certain points, it's like, no, there's really nothing more you can do to correct certain behaviors as they come out, you know, within certain degrees, especially like to immediately stop something.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Like, you know, you're trying to look like, all right, I want to hopefully long term, you know, bend my child's, you know, behavior in a certain direction. But, you know, immediately when something's happening, it's, you know, you have a very limited toolbox to work with.
Well, more broadly, I also feel like, you know, before you have kids, a common pastime after you've just hung out with friends or family who have kids is to get in the car or get home and be like, can you believe that they do
that little hellion.
Yeah, right, yeah. Exactly. Like, essentially judge other people's parenting.
Totally.
And as soon as you have
I
a
do
kid,
it all the time.
Right, exactly. And as soon as you have a kid, you're like, fuck, I was an asshole. Like, we're all just doing whatever we can to get through the day, you know?
So true.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
I want to talk sort of more about the judgmental parenting thing, because I feel like especially in this social media age, that's such a big thing. But really quickly, I do want to talk about Organifi, which I've talked about before in the podcast. It's great for lazy people, maybe great for dads. I don't know. You guys can tell me. But if you're really interested in sort of eating health, like eating more healthfully, you don't have a lot of time. You maybe don't even have like a blender because you are like me and live in like a 400 square foot rat hole in Manhattan. Organifi is a product where you can make really healthy, organic, vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, soy-free, all the free green juices, basically, as a way of eating healthy without like needing the whole setup or not spending like $9 a pop on your like fancy green juice. So the product promises to make you more energetic, to ease your stress, to erase belly fat, which is good if you are concerned about having a dad bod. So you guys can get 20% off of Organifi by going to Organifi.com. I'm just going to spell that real fast because who knows, Organifi.com, and use coupon code use coupon code Cosmo to get 20% off. So check it out. Great product maybe for you busy fathers out there. I'm just going to assume there are like legions of fathers suddenly listening to this episode of the podcast, but also for you ladies out there, Organifi. Check it out, Organifi.com. Use coupon code Cosmo and get 20% off. So I said I wanted to talk to you guys a little bit about social media and parenting and sort of the idea of everyone being like a backseat parent. I think that's always been true. Like all my friends who are parents have said like everyone... you know, everyone has advice on how you should best parent your kids. I do sort of wonder, I'm sure you guys feel that a little bit, but like, I'm wondering, is that a little bit of a mom thing? Or do you feel like as dads, you guys still have, you know, everyone has a suggestion of like what you should do or like the best XYZ thing to do with your kids? And how do you guys sort of deal with that?
I think that's more of a mom thing, to be honest with you, because
I will
take somebody's advice. But if they're kind of being invasive about it, I don't like, you know, I don't give a shit what you think, you know,
right.
Like we're raising this kid just fine.
Right.
Whereas for my wife, you know, she does struggle with questioning herself sometimes. And I think that's a big thing for moms and maybe less so for dads, which mm-hmm. is like, I don't know what I'm doing, this kind of thing. And while I agree, I kind of look at it like, I have no idea what I'm doing. Like, you know, it's just making it up as we go along day by day, which is terrifying, but also kind of a freedom comes with that too, maybe? I don't know.
It's interesting, and I've definitely thought about that too, because I definitely noticed my wife seems to care a lot more about just general stuff and, oh, you know, we're on the newer side of our friends that are having kids. We were the first ones, and we have about, I think, two others with kids now, and like our core group of friends that we deal with. And you
that's
know,
hard to it, like be the one starting it.
Well, it is and it isn't, because yeah. The nice thing about starting is you don't have this whole legion of people coming to you with advice. They're just like, oh my God, I don't understand how you deal with this. And you know, you can kind of take that. You know,
and also all your friends mm-hmm. care. Like at this point, when one of my friends has a baby, I'm just like, oh yeah, you too.
Oh yeah, the last person that has a baby in our group, that baby is going to be completely ignored. Ours is like, you know, oh, let me come over. We'll just watch her, you know, sit there in a car seat for an hour. I'm like, you go right ahead and have fun. I'm going to go grab a beer and I'll be back in 15 minutes. But yeah, no, I definitely notice, I mean, certainly more than me, and I don't know if it's just my personality. My wife definitely cares more, I think, what other people think and kind of gauge, all right, our daughter's doing this, you know, other family members, other people's kids are doing this. And sometimes I wonder if it's just this idea, and I don't know if it's generally social, but I think our wives kind of, whether it's real or just perceived, feel like they get judged on how their kid's doing.
Yeah.
And much more so than dads. And whether that's true or not, and I'm sure that's probably shifting more to, you know, co-parenting in general, but you know, I think for a lot of women that have kids, they feel like they're going to be judged on, you know, aspects of their kid, and unfortunately it's going to be quick, superficial, so they want to head that off. Where mm-hmm. as for dads, it's like, we want to make sure there's nothing wrong, they don't, you know, fall down, we can take care of them. And I think much more like, I have objective measures mm-hmm. for my parenting of like, she's healthy, she's doing this, okay. Where I think my wife's are definitely more relative. Like, all right, well, how are we doing compared to other people? And I don't know if you guys have that sort of thing, or have noticed that with your friends that have kids too.
Well, mm-hmm. wives are generally known as the main caregivers of your kids. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they're always constantly having to be judged or asked questions or, you know, all sorts of different things when it comes to that. But
I think there's also such a culture around that for women, like the whole mommy blog culture, and like, you know, even like men aren't spending as much time on Pinterest, but women are like, oh my God, look at all these nurseries on Pinterest that look like a dream world. You love Pinterest. Well, Carl, actually, like, random segue, but I did want to ask you about this since you're a very talented photographer. Yeah. Do you just have like 1 million bajillion photos of your kids? Like, how do you stop?
Well, we got a lot, but yeah. You know, I mean, it's all my cell phone. Everything's on our cell phones. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing that you grab quick, and those moments happen so quick.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's all on my cell phone, and thank God they're making better cameras. That way I don't feel like I got to pull out my other one.
Pull out your, like, real equipment. But, yeah, that's, like, the new parenting thing. It's just, like, you know, like, my phone is just 10,000, still, like, I'm at the stage where it's 10,000, like, selfies, but for parents, it's just, like, that scroll of, like...
Video. Now it's, like, look at me. No. No. I don't want to. No. Yeah. Why?
There's a comedian whose name now escapes me who has a line that is, he has more pictures of his kids on his phone than times his dad looked at him.
That's so good. Mm-hmm. So real. Mm-hmm. So real. But I think there's like, do you guys already feel, you know, every parent says like it goes by so fast. Do you guys feel that? Like, do you feel this almost like I have to capture every moment because like, oh my gosh.
In the beginning, it was definitely like that just because, you know, we're older parents. I'm 45. My husband's going to be 50 this year.
By the way, he does not look 45.
I know. I was actually shocked.
I wish that people could see how well this guy ages. What? Yeah. You should do a separate podcast on what he eats and drinks.
Yes.
I think he's clearly drinking the green juice.
Yeah, no, Organifi.
Oh, Organifi.
Look what we just did there.
That felt very organic.
Call that. Yes. It did.
Segue into...
You just Organifi'd the shit out of that. I think we just found what Organifi means.
Right. Yes. Oh my God. Drinking the Kool-Aid, drinking the Organifi. No, but Carl, so you're old AF, we've established. No, but
yes.
You were saying, like, how does that make you feel more... Well, I don't know. Like,
as
you don't
the kids
really
get older,
have anything to compare it to, I guess.
When you had no kids... Like, time just kind of went on. Now
that's how I feel about my life.
Well, yeah, it just kind of goes on.
Yeah.
You know, you just go day by day. You know, yes, go to work, you know, be friends, blah, 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 blah. But when you have a kid, watching them grow, you're like, oh, wow, has it really been 3 years? Holy crap, it's been 3 years. Holy shit, his fourth birthday's coming up. We got to plan that stuff out. And you're like, wow, 4 years have gone by? Like, time goes on, and then you have a, almost like a visual representation of time, like right there every day. They wake up the next morning, you're like, wow, you grew. How did the hell that happen?
Yeah.
Wow, that doesn't fit you anymore? Damn. Mm-hmm. You have to get you another haircut? Your nails, didn't we just cut your nails? Like, what's going on with you? Stop eating so much. But yeah, it's crazy. One thing I do want to go back to, being a gay dad.
Yeah.
Everybody's like, the question, where's his mom? What's going on? Like, who's the mom and who's the dad? You get the strangest freaking questions. Do you guys get questions, strange questions from total, complete strangers in, like, the supermarket or, like, anywhere? Like, bizarre.
But I'm sure, I have had friends say that about being pregnant, that, like, when you have a bump, everyone just wants to talk to you. Like, when you do? Like, what you eating? Like, and I do think there's something about, like, having a whether it's a bump or actually having a kid that makes people feel like it's like an, you know, it's like having a dog. Everyone talks to you when you have a dog.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
That's definitely true. Yeah. My wife has said that New York became a much more generous place once she started showing that she was pregnant.
Yeah.
Like, people were friendlier and obviously offering her seats on the subway and that sort of thing. I mean, people are more social when you have a kid, though. Although I think
But do you get the weirdos? To Carl's point.
Oh, yeah. Like, definitely get weird. I mean, probably not to the extent that you do. But, I mean, just the other day, I was pushing Stella in the stroller, and she'd fallen asleep. And I hadn't noticed that her neck had, she like, kind of, you know, like, bent over in a strange way. And some old-timer goes, that kid's going to get a crick in its neck if you're not careful. Fuck you, dude. And then, like, as soon as he walked away, I adjusted her neck.
Yeah, like, you're like, oh, crap, I got to fix that.
Damn it.
I have to say, I do always notice that when parents are walking their kids in the stroller, and you can tell the parent has no idea, like, what weird thing the kid is doing.
Right, totally.
Well, they're, like, turned around.
The kid is angry at that guy, but also super grateful.
Right.
But, yeah, there's something weird when you have a kid. People just seem to think that's a key of, oh, I can come up to talk to you and, like, you know, just jump right in to conversations that would never be socially acceptable without a kid in place. And they can just start asking you all these questions. And, you know, most people are polite. It's like, oh, how old is she? Or, oh, you know, you guys doing? Oh, you're, you know, it's really cute. But some people just, like, take that and run with it. And it's like, oh, I can ask you questions about your personal life and what you're doing and parenting. And it's like, whoa, 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 whoa. We've been in an Acme for 2 minutes. There's, yeah. You have no extra privileges based on that.
Yeah, right. God. Yeah, sorry.
Oh, you want to jump in there? You have something to say?
Well, I'm curious. What about, like, people touching your kid? Do you get a lot of that? And how do you feel about that?
Oh.
Like, if a kid's in a stroller, stranger walks up and is like, oh, look at that little baby. And, like.
It's weird. I do notice it. I'm in general, and it's more my personality just to go with things. And especially, it depends where I am. Like, if I'm in town or close by, it's not as weird. But I'm definitely noticing it more. And I don't even think I would, like, before I had kids, it'd be like, oh, someone's going to come. Like, oh, okay, whatever. But now, yeah, that happens, and there's something inside you of, like, wait, I gotta make sure everything's okay here. You just, like, I got to protect and, you know, just, like, assess the situation. And it's weird because it's this, like, spark or something that just flips, and you don't even realize that switch is there. And it does just, everything kind of perks up, and you're a little bit more attentive. Mm-hmm. And,
oh, my God, maybe that's Dad Dar.
Maybe that is Dad Dar.
I'm still trying to make it happen. Really quickly, I want to talk about Bedface. This is a super cool internet company that promises to have the best damn sheets on the internet. I love the website. Even if you don't need a pair of sheets right now, go look at the website. It's this, like, beautiful shopping experience where there's this, like, rainbow, like, ombre rainbow of bedding in every single color. 24 different colors you can mix and match if you want, like, a navy blue bottom sheet and an aqua top sheet, which is actually what I ordered. You can make that come true. I also think this is an interesting thing to talk about in the context of men, because I think it's weird how a lot of men don't use top sheets. We can come back to that in a second. Carl's, like, raising his hand. So, yeah, if you don't want a top sheet and you just want a bottom sheet, you can do that at Bedface. But all of their products are 100% long staple cotton, as they call it. So a really high sort of premium fabric designed for comfort and breathability. They have a 100-night guarantee. So if you decide on night 99 that these sheets are not for you, you can send them back. No questions asked. And the whole idea of the site is that they are working directly with makers to pass the savings along to you. So that's the cool thing about ordering these online instead of in a store. So check out bedface.com and use promo code COSMO to get 20% off your order. You guys know I love to hook you up with a deal. So 20% off at bedface.com/COSMO. Speaking of bedding, like, I think one thing that all parents talk about is how instantly you have to do laundry, like, 24/7. But I don't know if, like, is true, false? Michael's like, my wife does it.
So in terms of the division of labor, that is actually my wife's job.
Let's talk about that. Yeah.
You're like, I haven't done my laundry since 2010. Yeah, right.
2010? That's generous.
I don't know. How long have you been married?
Since 2010, actually. Oh. So there you go. So we don't have laundry in our building. It's a block away, but...
Oh, my God, how do you do that?
So
even without a kid?
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's challenging, I suppose. There's a lot of washing stuff out in the sink and then, like, letting it hang dry until we actually go to the laundromat.
Yeah. I didn't actually want to talk about laundry, but Bedface just, like, put me in that moment. But what I did actually want to talk about is, like, finances. And do you guys feel like the moment you had a kid, all of a sudden it's like, oh, my God, I'm saving for college, like... Did your attitude toward money change when you became a parent?
Is anybody here thinking about saving for college for their kid right now?
Thinking's one thing. Actually doing something about it is completely
other. Okay, sorry, I didn't mean to scare you.
Well, it's also not fair. Like, I do like financial advising. So it's in my head.
Definitely not.
And then
can we talk after the show?
We absolutely can. But yeah, like, and of course, as a professional,
can we have a Cosmo discount code?
Oh,
yes.
You can totally do that.
Okay, 20%.
But it's just
off.
Like, oh, yeah, this is what you should be doing. And I'm totally not doing this. And I'm just constantly worried.
I like this. I like that I won't feel judgment then if we can. Yeah.
Absolutely not.
All right.
My husband handles all that. Thank God he's the sane one. I'm the artsy one. He's the more corporate, organized, everything needs to be planned for. And thank God I've got him on my side, because, man, I don't know if we'd ever, have dinner money or shopping money planned out or whatever. But yeah, no, he handles all that stuff, which is kind of great.
I'm totally with you there. I'm like the artsy whatever, like can't get anywhere on time, don't remember to pay bills, like have literally forgotten to pay my rent before. So I need to find one of those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank God I have him for that stuff too. I mean, he takes, as far as the dividing up of things, I mean, your finances in a marriage are huge. And I was never like, money, whatever, you know. But now that I'm like, wow, I've got a kid. Now we just bought our new house a year ago. And I'm like, wow, I'm an adult. Holy crap. How did that happen?
Yeah.
Right. How did that happen?
Yeah.
But yeah, he handles all those finances and stuff, and thank God for him.
I know. My wife handles the finances in our house, and she, like...
The laundry, the finances. Right, what are you doing?
I cook.
You cook. Okay, cook. That's a good one.
There's other things I do, I think. She kind of, like, restored my credit, which was terrible, and, like, got everything in order, and, you know, now that we have a kid, we are trying to, like, save and be more financially responsible. For example, I have $75 left in my budget until tomorrow. I still have to buy lunch, probably a coffee somewhere in there, and a bottle of wine. So hopefully I can get, I can definitely do that in $75.
Yeah, that's actually, right? That seems good.
What am I going to do with my extra, $50?
Do you need like a candy bar or like a, I don't know.
Now, Michael, I have a question. Have you guys started daycare yet? Is that something you're going
to
be doing?
Yeah, we do have a daycare that we send sell to.
Yeah, because that caught me off, not completely off guard, but just like start looking at prices of daycares.
The cost.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Our son's been in daycare.
It's this bizarre thing of like, you don't think of it when you have a kid. It's like, all right, we got to get a kid and there's going to be diapers and bottles and that. And it's like, no, for I think most people probably listening to this, most spouses work now, I think. So it's like, all right, now someone has to watch our kid.
Yeah.
And that was definitely not a cost. I was like calculating in the back of my head getting into this. And then all of a sudden it's this huge payment. And it's weird because it's this huge payment that you're not looking for. And then you like break it down an hour and it's like, I couldn't find somebody to watch my kid on
totally.
A per hour basis. It's like you have to. There's no better
it's like
option.
A bulk rate. Babysitting, yes.
Absolutely.
Bull crazy.
Yeah. When it comes down to it, you're like, what?
The two biggest expenses that I wasn't prepared for. I mean, to be honest with you, like the diapers and the formula and that kind of thing like that, that doesn't seem to be too heavy of a lift for us. It's daycare. And we're really happy with our daycare and we're happy to like pay that. And then maybe it was just our insurance or something like that, but I feel like we had to pay a lot out of pocket for when the kid. I mean, you must have had to pay a fortune out of pocket.
Oh yeah, for us, it was mainly after all this, like what you have in your head versus what you actually have to pay. It's like, okay, it's only that much. My wife has fantastic insurance, which was a help. And then, you know, once you blow past, you know, your yearly maximum in the first 2 days, you're not too worried about everything else that follows. And luckily, January was a great time for something horrible to happen to get that whole thing in. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
Leave it to a financial planner.
Right. You know, you just got to make that stuff happen.
Oh, my God. So one last thing I want to talk about is Third Love. I've talked about them before on the podcast. Carl, actually, who listens to the podcast, asked me if I'm wearing my Third Love bra today, which I am. True story. This really is getting embarrassing, though. But Third Love is a company that promises to give you the best fitting bra you will ever find. Thirdlove.com is the website, and one thing I really like about the bra I'm wearing and a lot of the bras on the site is, first of all, it doesn't have one of those dorky bows in the center, which, ladies, you know what I'm talking about. Why are those on 99% of all bras? I don't understand it. But it's a nude bra. It has gold hardware, pleated straps. It feels like the perfect sort of t-shirt bra, but just like a little more special, which I really like about it. And they I want you guys to be able to try this for free. So go to thirdlove.com/Cosmo. All you need to pay for is shipping, and they're going to let you wear the bra for 30 days. You can take the tags off, wear it, wash it, really try it out. And if you love it, you can keep it and they'll charge your card. And if not, send it back for free and your card will not be charged. But I think you guys will really like it. They have online fit specialists that guarantee that they will help you find a perfect fit for you. Not to be weird, but like I kind of have big boobs, so it's like hard for me to find bras in regular places. So I really like Third Love for that reason. I feel weird saying that in a room full of men, but whatever, it's true. So thirdlove.com/Cosmo, check it out. I don't know where even to go after that, but we are actually about almost out of time. But what I did want to say was that I said at the top of the episode that I had texted my dad to tell him I was like putting together this podcast. And I said, you know, did you always know you wanted to be a dad? And my dad was basically like, all through my 20s, I didn't give a thought to like children or marriage. And then, of course, he met my mom and everything changed. And I said, what do you remember about me being born? And he said, I wasn't there. And I was like, you weren't there? Like, how, first of all, where were you? Second of all, how did I go through my entire life not knowing this? And then he clarified that I was like a C-section baby. So he meant he was in the hospital, but not in the delivery room. I was like, oh, okay. And then he goes, actually, I conferred with your mom and it turns out I was there. And I was like, you literally don't even remember if you watched me being born or not. I don't even know how to feel about this. And so then he kind of tried to make up for it by saying, you know, I remember the casual conversations between the doctors during delivery. They had a drape up so I couldn't actually see the birth as I was stationed by mom to comfort her. I think we both saw you for the first time at the same time. And then he goes, otherwise those moments kind of fade away. So I don't know. Like, that's why it's good we're doing this podcast now, because in 30 years, you guys will remember nothing about the moment your kid was born. You will literally not even remember if you were there. So there's that. But on kind of a final note, I would love for you guys to each say if there has been a moment that stands out to you where you really felt so proud to be a father. Silence.
You know, to go back to this moment when Stella was born, the kind of the overwhelming emotion that I had was obviously joy. I mean, after I was done with my whole like 2 minutes of right. not being a dad, like, was this idea of like joy. I mean, I can distinctly remember when they like pull her out and they put her on Sally's stomach and she actually. I might be making this up, but I swear she like lifted her head up and looked at us.
Oh.
And then, you know, in our minds, she was like, oh, so you're the two people I've been hearing for the last 9 months. And then laid her head down and started crying. And the thing, though, that I remember was how proud I was of Sally because of what she had just gone through. And what surprised me was how I was blubbering. So I mean, I was like sobbing. I was so overcome with emotion at that time. And it was mainly just to kind of like see this woman whom I love and I've spent so much time with, like just do something incredibly extraordinary. And that is something that I'm sure that there'll be many, many moments where I'll be like proud to be a dad and proud of Stella and everything like that. But within the first year of her life, really the pride that I felt was for my wife for doing that.
That is so cute, I could die. Okay, Carl, what about you?
Oh,
a
boy.
Moment you felt particularly proud to be a dad.
I'm so proud to be a dad. I'm so very proud to be a gay dad. There's not, I mean, there's now there's a website out, gay dads with gays with kids.
Gays with kids.
Yes.
What is that, like a blog?
It's like a blog thing. Actually, we're going to be featured on it.
Oh.
In the next coming months and stuff about what our story is and how we got our son and stuff like that. But I'd say the proudest moment, I mean, having a son and being able to pick him up at the hospital. We didn't really have 9 months to like, say
prepare.
It was kind of like I was scared shitless. So was I know Sean was too. We were really just like, oh my god, we were watching YouTube videos on how to change diapers. I mean, that's how we learned pretty much how to get going, and then all the advice from friends and family, which was great. But I'd say the when I was most proudest is his adoption day. That was just because we were like a family, like he was ours. We all became, you know, our family. We were all together. That was like the significant moment. And that was, you know, in 2013, he was born 2012. But yeah, that was, I blubbered. I was just like, wow, this is my life now. This is,
It's real.
It's everything that I ever wanted, you know? Yeah. And it's all come true. The dream come true. I got the glass slipper. Whatever. But yeah, no, that was my most proudest moment. And then at our wedding, that our son, we actually got married about 2 years ago, I think it was. But we had entered when gay marriage became legal in Jersey, we entered a contest and we won our wedding.
Oh my God, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and so that was just becoming a family. That was just like the bow on the thing of my life.
So but your son was there for...
Yeah, he got to be at our wedding, which was awesome too.
That's so special in so many ways.
Yeah, lots of proud moments, but yeah, every day is pretty good.
Every day is pretty good. Okay, Jimmy, what about you?
So again, and I think kind of to what Michael said, like especially early on, so many of the things that you feel proud of are proud that, you know, your spouse does and proud that your kid does. And I mean, for our unique situation, I just remember, through kind of the middle part of when we were in the hospital, which, you know, had some scary stuff and there were some surgeries and stuff. And I just remember, like, at one point coming in and I was in the hospital room kind of like by myself with my baby there and just like sitting down and looking at her. And I was just like, I am so immensely proud of you. It's like you've gone through more surgeries than I have and are like taking this incredible experience that, you know, thank God she'll never remember, and just like taking it like a champ. And I'm just like, never in my life have I felt more pride, like just like within me for my daughter, which was fantastic. And, you know, something that's definitely life changing. And I mean, like, along with that pride to kind of like mirror that scary, not fun situation, I remember just like the first time we were going to the grocery store and my wife said something to me offhand, like, oh, I don't think they have that. And she just burst out laughing. And I'm sure all you guys remember that first time that your child just like belly laughed and just you could repeat it and they do it again. You have no idea why. And it's like me and my wife and her were all just there, like, we're dying laughing because it's just ridiculous. And she's like belly laughing from the gut. And I remember just being like, this is great. Like, this is for all the stuff that, you know, every parent goes through of no sleep and just slugging through everything and all the extra, you know, lugging stuff around, changing dirty diapers. Just that those moments like that are just like everything kind of just lifts off and is great. And it's, you know, it's no better feeling in the world than that.
That is so cute. I'm like literally crying. I also want to just like go home and have a baby. So I'll work on that. But thank you all so much for sharing your experiences and being honest and funny and candid about this amazing thing that you guys are doing and for representing the male point of view, which we do very rarely on the podcast because usually it's me talking about lady things all the time always. But I snuck a few in today, so I think we got it. But thank you so much. And thank you all for listening at home. Please subscribe to the Cosmopolitan.com Happy Hour podcast. Please share it. Please tweet me at Elisa Benson if there are things you want me or things you maybe more preferably want men to talk about in the future. I always want to know what you guys want to hear about. And thank you so much for listening. I'll see you guys next week.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.